Hello, this is Herb Burns, and welcome to the podcast, Three Men for Thee in a Realm of Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. We hope to share with you current faith-based topics from authors, community leaders, pastors, and you, the listener, as well. Your hosts for these podcasts are Herb Burns, Jack Bells, and Alan Brown. You can email us with your questions at 3, that's the number 3, MFT at mail.com. Once more, that's 3, MFT at mail.com. We will be posting podcasts bi-weekly and look forward to your comments and questions and hope you will continue to listen to our interviews as we explore topics in the realms of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural. Thank you, listeners, for returning as we continue our interview with Lewis and Susan. It's such a pleasure to have people with a Christian heart telling their stories. And this story continues around Christmas time. So we will continue as they tell their story of how they got connected with the church in the community and what that led to. So welcome back again, listeners, and continue to enjoy these amazing stories.
Lewis had just been job transferred up here, and it was Christmas. We did not know anyone, and Lewis had interviewed a female pharmacist from Russia for a job. And she spoke very little English. We learned that they were alone in this country, knew no one. And so I said, well, Lewis, let's have them over for Christmas dinner. And his name was Sergey. I don't remember her name, and their daughter. And so they joined us at our dining room table for Christmas. And he turned to me. He was a fascinating fellow. He was a pilot for Gorbachev. He was talking about what he had done in the Soviet Union. And he turned to me and said, and what line of work are you in, Susan? And I said, well, I'm in ministry. I said, right now in Bible Study Fellowship, we are looking for a host church. This new day class is about to open, but we need a church to open its doors so that women can come and study the Bible. And that was all that was said. That was December. Flash forward to February, my telephone rang, and this male voice said, Susan Utsi, and not everybody gets our name correct. This is Pastor Craver at the Moravian Church off Highway 311. And Wednesday night, we had a guest family come to our church. And I don't usually do this, but he asked if he could have the microphone and speak to the congregation. He had been in the United States not very long, knew no one. And someone opened their door to their home at Christmas and invited him in for a meal. Mm. And he said, this man stood up and told the congregation that you had welcomed him into your home. And I understand you're looking for a church to have your Bible study fellowship class. He said, I'm calling you to tell you that we are opening our doors to this BSF class. I didn't know anybody in this area. Didn't know any pastors, didn't know any churches, but God ordained that and opened those doors. And that's where the BSF class met the very first year.
Yeah. And this is the reason that I wanted you to come and share. Is your heart is so deep for God and the love for the lost. Mm-hmm. You're unbelievably have the gift of hospitality, just like you were just talking about inviting Sergey and his wife.
Lewis has taught me that.
I know, and I want to hear his side of this.
But it's Lewis's gift, yes.
I tell you, you do well together. You do well together. I know you're not teaching Bible study fellowship right now, but you're still opening your home. You're still reaching out to your neighbors. You're still reaching out when you were a pharmacist to the people there that knew you, and you were always reaching out. And this is the part that I wanted to see shared with others that think that, well, I'm not anybody special. I'm not a Danny Aiken. I'm not a whatever. But God takes this and uses you and is continuing to use you. So if you could just give us, and then I want Lewis to share his part, but an update of teaching all that and then what God is continuing to teach you and how to reach and love the lost, reaching out to that person who's sitting in a wheelchair and the experiences you had to get you to the point right now as to how you love others.
Okay. Do we have about 5 hours?
We'll take whatever time God wants.
Let's see. Let's go to a couple of years ago, and I was at my hair salon getting my hair cut. And my hairstylist, Wita, is from Canada, and she asked one probing question, which God directed. Susan, when you were at the Cove last week, tell me one tidbit that you learned from the study of Zechariah. And I remember telling her, one thing. I was there for a week. How can I just hone it down to one thing? And God brought forward to me Zechariah 14:4, that when Jesus returns, his feet will be on the Mount of Olives, and that land is going to split east to west. Yeah, and it's going to be a startling, astounding day when that happens. Well, in that hair salon, all the water stopped, the shampooing stopped, the scissors were laid down, conversations were stopped. And y'all, this is women in a hair salon, so I mean, it was just buzzing. Everything went totally quiet. And my hairstylist said, Susan, do you realize people are listening to what you've just described? And from way over in the corner of the salon, I heard somebody say, who said that? How does she know that's true? Is that really in the Bible? Who is this Zechariah guy? And so seven women came forward from that hair salon and said, we don't know you, but we want to come to your house and we want you to teach us the Bible. Mm-hmm. And we want to learn why you think God is so important in your life. And they said, we want to come on Thursdays at 4 o'clock till 5:15. And we want to start next week.
Wow.
So I left the salon. I didn't even get my hair dried. I went home with wet hair that day. And I told Lewis, I said, I think we're going to be opening our door next Thursday at 4 o'clock to whoever is going to come. And they have come. Now, this is the third year we've been doing this. I put on two pots of coffee. Sometimes we have 10. Sometimes we have 27 who walk in the door. One woman even drives from Myrtle Beach, from her beach house, Thursday morning so that she can be back here for Bible study on Thursday afternoon. Wow. One has come to saving faith and has been baptized. How can I say no?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's an old Arabian proverb that says, what's the greatest crime in the desert? When you found water and you stay silent about it.
Yeah. Amen. Mm-hmm. You struck a chord with me in several places. One, mm-hmm. Lewis, and I want to focus on you now. Mm-hmm. As I was reading your bio, both of you, it struck me because I'm kind of similar in that. Mm. I went to seminary in my 50s, mm-hmm. much later in life than most guys do. Mm-hmm. And although I've never served in a pastoral way, I've preached and done other things like that, and currently am a Bible fellowship teacher, as these fellows here will attest. But I was curious because you sort of have the same testimony. And I can see how the Lord has been using you all, and that's an amazing story. And you know, when you said Zechariah 14 is what come to my mind, and I'm thinking, I wonder if she's going to say that. And there it was, right there, a God moment. But Lewis, for you, why did you go to seminary so late in life?
I didn't go to seminary.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm confused.
When I got out of pharmacy school and I got my diploma, my mama was there, yeah. Miss Susan, and she said, thank Lordy. But I did make the dean's list the last semester, and that bugged Susan because I can always say on an application, I was a dean's list student. Mm. But I tell you, those were in non-saved days for me.
Yeah.
And I told my friends, I said, if I make Born to See, that means I'm not having enough fun. And that was the truth. You know, I don't think it would have been that, but I have been to many, we've been to many seminars at the Cove. We've heard Dr. Walt Kaiser probably for about the last 12 years on an all week, a week-long seminar, intensive Bible training. And it's just been a blessing to be able to go up there with Susan and get that kind of teaching. He's an Old Testament scholar. And I tell you, it just brings God's promise of what he's promised all along. It makes it so real to both of us that we can trace that through the Old Testament and see what God's doing today. And he's never broken his word.
Amen.
It's just a testimony to his glory.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen. Well,
what I know about Lewis is he loves his neighbors. He loves those who he knows are lost, some of them. Golfers. Lewis is always, I wouldn't call it probing and that kind of thing, but he's always wanting to know where you stand with regard to your faith. And he's bold and unabashedly sharing the love of God. Tell us some of the, I know you decorate a Christmas tree. I know you've got other things that you do, and evidently you're the heart of the hospitality area.
I tell you, that one of the most interesting things, we have some veteran friends at church that are Christians. I've got a veteran friend who is not a Christian. It is his wife. I'm not going to say anything about who they are.
Right.
But the one of my veteran friends that is a Christian is sort of withdrawn to himself a lot. And we invited him over, and we had a supper that he invited. We had about eight couples. And we're over there, and the guy comes in, it's a Christian friend, and he said, "Lewis," he said, "y'all ambushed me." I said, "No, we didn't ambush you. We didn't even think about you. We're being intentional, very intentional in outreach. I'm a GOP person. Gospel, outreach, and prayer."
Yeah, amen.
Before you start outreaching, you better be praying.
Yeah.
But I'm outreaching to my neighbor because he's a lost soul, and so is his wife. And I love him. And I know he loves me because he hugs me and tells me he loves me. But he's not a Christian. I'm trying intentionally to get that man around other veterans that are Christian men and talk to him. So I tell my buddy, I said, "Listen, I know you're having a hard time coming out. I'm working on that. I'm praying for that. But I'm not worried about you. I will see you in heaven. Your business is to come out so you can do something with what God has given you. You know, all you need to do is find just a couple people that you can help do something, and God will show you how to get out of where you are.
Amen.
But you don't need to be focusing on yourself." And I said, "We ain't gonna never ambush you. If you don't want to come help us be intentional toward another person whose soul is lost, just tell us you're not interested in coming. You're not gonna hurt our feelings."
Yeah,
it's interesting. I was looking at a post on Facebook. Somebody posted an illustration. And it was two men walking down a highway, and then the highway split, went right and left. And when you go left, there's a stairway to heaven, and when you went right, there were flames, okay? So the guy on the highway said to the other guy, "This is where we part ways now." So, you know, you have a choice to make. And
Herb, you're right. And that one situation that we just talked about, I told Susan, "I've got to go talk to my neighbor." So I asked him if I could come talk to him. Now, I've talked to him many times, but I gave him the gospel message real straight and true. And I said, "Now, I'm not going to bring this up to you again, but you know, if you have a question, myself, Susan, we will be glad to talk to you anytime." I said, "But this is a question that you're going to have to resolve." But the outreach of this is the most important thing. This has been going on for about 20 years. I was playing golf with this fella one day, and he said, "Lewis, you're one of them Calvary Baptist boys, aren't you?" He said, "What do you do over there?" I said, "Well, I helped out with adult Sunday school with Alan, and, you know, I've done some other things there." He said, "Well, what do you think about homosexuals?" I said, "John, I don't even have an opinion about that." I said, "I'm a sinner too, but God's word says it's wrong." And this man looked at me and said, "Well, my son's a homosexual." Now, if I told him what Lewis thinks about that instead of what the Lord living inside me tells me to think about it, we may never have had these opportunities. These people have not shown saving faith, but they do dearly love us. They treat us like we're brothers and sisters. And I'll give God the glory for that, all of it.
Amen. It's a clever way, I think, to our listeners, and this is not the first time that I've heard this or seen it approached in this matter, but I think it's a very clever thing. If you want to help get the gospel to folks, if it's your neighbors, if it's your cousins, I don't care who it is, a good thing to do, invite them to dinner.
Yes.
Invite them to a barbecue. I tell this story to my class, but since you haven't heard it, I'm going to say it here, and I don't think we've said it to our listeners before either. So, but I had a friend that I had witnessed to, gone out on visitation time and time again. they sent me over to his house because we had known him. He didn't go to our church, but some folks there had known him. So they sent me over there. So I go over there, and I sit down, and he very patiently listens to me go over. I'm taking him down the Romans Road, doing everything, trying to bring him to a confession of Jesus Christ as his Savior. And he sits there. He won't say anything. So finally, I thank him and move on. I go back again, same thing. Go back again, same thing. So finally I quit going. So I go on to Nashville Bible College, right? I get a phone call. It's this guy. I've been up in school for 1 year. He gives me a call. I mean, I'm sitting there, who is this? He tells me his name. His name is Bill Duncan. He says, this is Bill. He says, I want you to know. He says, I got saved. And I'm coming to Bible college. He says, I want to live just as close to you as I can. So, you know, your wife and my wife and get down. So we did. But when he come up to Nashville, I sat down with him and I said, Bill, so I used to come over to your house and witness to you. I said, what did I do wrong? You know, why didn't you receive Christ then? Here's what he's told me. And I've never forgotten this. He said, you didn't want to be my friend. So the person that led him to the Lord after I left became his friend, invited him over for dinner, mm-hmm. led him to the Lord. Mm-hmm. That was the mistake that I made. And he was right. I really wasn't, to be honest, I really wasn't interested in his friendship. I was interested in getting him into the kingdom, yes. but I didn't really care about being his friend, you see. Yes. And the sincerity doesn't show until you show the love. And mm-hmm. what you said is just straight on. So listeners, take this advice from these mm-hmm. folks who practice this all the time. It works. If you want to reach people for Christ, mm-hmm. invite them over to dinner.
And I'm not talking about entertaining either. There's a difference between hospitality and entertaining. Mm-hmm. Just the other night, I called this couple and said, we're going to make a turkey sandwich and have some salad. How about come over? Nothing fancy, no dessert. They pounced on that. They were right there at the table, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. When they know you care right. and they sense that, there's an opening there as that bridge is developing with that relationship.
And I think the other thing that goes along with being a friend is not being judgmental. And the way that Lewis was just talking about yes. this gentleman that whose son was a homosexual, mm-hmm. that it's not what he believes. It's about what God says about it. And you tell the truth in love, and you don't judge them, you don't condemn, and that leaves the door open mm-hmm. for the Holy Spirit to work. Mm-hmm. And so that's one thing that impressed me in my conversations with Lewis over the years, and I remember that. So you take the friendship, and then you take the non-judgmental, but you tell the truth. You have to say the truth. And it doesn't matter what I believe. It matters what God says. Mm-hmm. And share that with them. And let the Holy Spirit do his part. Mm-hmm. So that's what I remember.
Mm-hmm. Let me mention this. There's a lot of people that we don't even see now that are going to be listening to our podcast. Some of them may be our friends. Some may be our neighbors. What comes to your mind that you would say to somebody that you can't see that might be out there listening to this, that it's on the borderline and trying to make a decision in their life? What do you want to say to our neighbors that we don't see right now but are listening to us? Either one of you.
Well, you know, I think that's a great point to make. And I would ask the question, like Mick Jagger says, I don't get no satisfaction. There's a foundation that everybody has in their life, and it's built on something. And I'm telling you, if you build it on what the world has to offer, you are never going to have satisfaction. You listen to the words in his song. He never had it. He wanted it. We actually have a neighbor who worked for Mick Jagger when he was making all these millions and millions of dollars right down the street. And she said nobody was ever satisfied. And we had everything. I really believe that as we confess to God that we are in need, even if we don't say, I accept Christ as my Savior. But if you come down that road, whatever it is, maybe God has to beat you down really hard and cause a lot of things to go right in your life. Maybe you have nothing else left. I may be, as David Phelps says, I went to revival, and the fright of going to hell made me confess the Lord, our brother. You know, maybe it's Doc Davis, my Sunday school teacher at Calvary. Doc Davis has been a deacon at his church in Spartanburg, been a Sunday school teacher there, all this kind of stuff, been on a pastor search committee, all these kind of things. One night at 2 o'clock, he got on his knees in his kitchen and asked the Lord to save him, because he knew he didn't have that salvation. If it's important to you, there's something, you know, that when we get squeezed, stuff comes out of our heart. And that fountain of the outpouring, God loves us so much. I think Romans 5:5, which is our focal verse for this year, says, and God is pouring his love into our hearts with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And if you look at God doing that is not for us, brothers and sisters. That is to share with people who don't know the Lord, or somebody who does know the Lord and is having some difficulty or issues. Just like every one of us at this table has had issues, and we still have issues. But God can give you the satisfaction to go past those issues are, mm-hmm. simply because only with Christ are you going to have satisfaction. You're not going to have it in anything else of this world, because absolutely, if you look at it from a strictly biblical perspective, we have nothing. God created everything that ever was. The Hebrews call it the tohu wabohu. From absolutely nothing, everything that is here is his. Mm-hmm. It's not ours. And I tell you, once you come to Christ, we're aliens anyway. We don't belong here. Our home is in heaven.
Amen.
Amen to that.
So, you know, my thing is to look at yourself, and if life's not going quite the way you think it should, see if you don't think it's time to give the Creator of life the opportunity to make it right for you, because that's the only way it can be made right.
Mm-hmm. So as we wind down a bit here, I want to switch topics, if I might, for just a little bit. I want to talk about our culture. As Christians, we have to deal with our culture. You dealt with it in school. Mm-hmm. You dealt with it in business, just like all of us here mm-hmm. have had to deal with it. So in our day, we have seen this big deal about the separation of church and state. And it's even affected some of our pulpits. I was quite frankly shocked because I'm a newbie at Calvary. I just joined Calvary last year. So when I joined and I saw that on the 4th of July, we didn't even have a mention of anything about the country, any kind of celebration, no presentation of the flags. And all the churches I've been in, and I've been in a few in my time, when it came around the 4th of July, there was always a mention, a celebration, but not a Calvary. I was really surprised. And so when I inquired about that, I was told that our pastor believed in the separation of church and state. Now, as Christians, dealing in the culture that we're now facing, how do you feel about that issue, the separation of church and state? How far should we go with that, or what should we do with it?
I understand what the Founding Fathers were aiming at in that, and the wording of that. But my take on that is the overarching kingdom of God, which supersedes everything. And I would address it from that viewpoint. There is a kingdom unseen with such power we dare even to fathom what God Almighty can do and what he will do. And even in the prophets, it says that the nations are like a drop in the bucket, and they tremble in front of the Lord God. They are as dust in God's eyes. Mighty nations, no matter who they are led by or where they are on the globe. So I look at that depiction of church and state, but then I see the overarching kingdom, which is the true kingdom, mm-hmm. led by the true king, and that is Jesus.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
Well, as you know, there's an ongoing battle for truth.
Mm-hmm.
Our president calls some presentations of truth fake news, mm-hmm. and quite frankly, it is in so many instances. But with this ongoing battle for truth, we find it with the gospel as well.
Sure.
When we were in the Holy Land, as we're calling Southeastern, One of the things that delighted me, that encouraged me, was how Danny Akin had talked about the way that Southeastern was controlled by liberals, people having to, professors having to sign documents indicating that they didn't believe that the Bible was inerrant, that Moses didn't write the first five books of the Bible, and so forth and so on. So there's a real battle for truth now. And within this ongoing battle for truth, that is to properly interpret even scientific facts. As you know, evolution is the guiding scientific fact of our day, totally contrary to what the Bible says. We're even having this big argument now about global warming and all of that means. So there's a book called The Post-Truth Era by an author named Ralph Keyes. And in that book, he says, he comes out and plainly says that honesty is on the ropes. The president calls this fake news. What do you make of this?
Are you familiar with the C.S. Lewis book?
I am.
Screwtape Letters?
Mm-hmm.
If you have, for listeners who haven't read that, it's a take on an elderly demon who is writing a letter to his little nephew, Wormwood, and he's giving instructions on how the demons are to venture out into the world and try to steer all of us Christians off track. And there's one statement in there I've underlined and highlighted in my copy of that book. And C.S. Lewis said, when man steers from the truth of God, when man moves away from the truth of God, grab him, because then he's steerable. That's what the senior demon told the little demon. You get him away from this truth. You get him to waver and start to doubt. Well, what if, and somebody told me this, and I heard this. As soon as you get him away from this, that demon said, you've got man in a steerable place. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a key point.
Yes.
We have to teach what is truth. Truth will always stand.
Amen.
God will always be. But people are being bombarded now with all kinds of thoughts and opinions. And at that Thursday Bible study, I have a little basket on the table called I Have a Bible Question. And I encourage people to submit what they want to know about, what they've wondered about. And we have all kinds of topics, don't we, Lewis, that have popped up in there. Hmm. Books they've read and secular things that they have believed and way off course. And I find that I prayerfully bring them back to well, God says this. And we put our finger on the verse in the Bible. It's not what Susan says, it's what God says.
Right.
So the truth is the ultimate thing.
I'm so often surprised at how Christians,
yes,
born-again believers, confessing Christ as Savior, will stand up and say, now wait a minute, politics should be over here, and the Bible is over here. But see, I think the correct way to derive truth is to filter everything through the scriptures. Would you agree?
Yes, this is my life.
Yeah.
Yes, this is my life. Mm-hmm. Not only my lamp, my guide, my filter, as you put it. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people get real confused today.
Yes.
Not only people who are Christians, but the non-Christians, about what you're talking about, the news and the politics and the things that are going on in the world. They need to go back and have their and read the Ephesians 6 chapter about spiritual warfare. I don't know if I've ever heard a sermon at Calvary Baptist Church on spiritual warfare. And I've been a member there 21 years. I believe that we have to pray for our pastors, our elected officials, not so that they'll get reelected, but so Satan will stay away from them, God will have a chance to bless them and prosper them for God's glory, not for theirs. Mm-hmm. And once you lose that humility before God, I don't think you have a chance. Because I don't think God is going to try to glory what himself through somebody who's not willing to be used by God. Mm-hmm. And I know God's done that. He even had a donkey talk to Balaam, which is one of the most hilarious things I've ever read in the Bible. Mm-hmm. But the whole thing, the spiritual warfare that's going on, mm-hmm, everywhere, I just do not think the Christians, the average Christian today in the church, is aware of that and actually knows what to do about it. Because the only way you can put that armor on is by prayer.
Yes. And we're The Bible, as you know, and I've tell you this, the Bible's a supernatural book. It's full of supernatural events, like you were just talking about, Balaam and the donkey, and floating axe heads. I mean, there's all kinds of supernatural events. As Paul reminds us, as you pointed out, we're in a battle here. We're in a battle with the unseen realm, with beings that we can't see. That's where the battle is. So you're right. We need, as Christians, we need preaching, we need teaching, we need training on how to put on that armor of God and combat these forces of evil that exist in high places.
Jack, I think, too, it goes to what's coming out of the pulpits in our community. You know, Susan, when she was leading the Ladies Bible Study Fellowship class, excuse me, there were 486 women coming on Wednesdays for that lesson. 181, I believe, honey, different churches were represented there. The number one question Susan got is, why haven't I heard this preached in my church? And the answer to that is, because the preacher's not preaching God's word. Yeah. It breaks your heart.
It does.
Yeah. Well, we want to thank you too for coming and sharing your heart, hearing what God's been doing with you. And we appreciate you so much. Well, you know I love you guys.
I loved you too, Alan. So,
anyway, thank you so much.
It's our deep joy. Yes.
It's been a pleasure to meet you, Lewis and Susan.
Mm-hmm. Been a pleasure to be here with you, fellas.
Yes.
And we know that you're going to be blessing all of our listeners when they hear your wonderful messages.
If God so chooses, yes.
Yes.
He may come back soon.
He will.
Yes.
He will.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. Did you know that the ancient prophet Job once asked the question, "If a man dies, shall he live again?" The one book that gives us the correct answer to this age-old and perplexing question is the Bible. Within its pages, we find out that we die because we have all sinned against the God of the Bible by breaking His Ten Commandments. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." We all have to admit at some time, some place, we have all broken God's law, and so now you know why we die. So what about Job's question? Is there indeed life after death? The Bible again answers this question that we all wonder about. The answer is unequivocally yes. However, the Bible also solemnly warns in Hebrews 9:27, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." So to summarize, we know that we all are sinners, we all die, there is life after death, and there is a judgment that awaits all of us. Fortunately, God made a way for us to prepare for this judgment. It's clear from Scripture that we can't do anything to save ourselves. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Acts 8:20 says, "But Peter said to him, 'Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money.'" No amount of money or good works of any kind are going to help us. So what can we do? Again, the Scripture is clear as to what we must do. First, we must repent. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Simply put, this means to be willing to change your mind about who Jesus is. Jesus was not just a great teacher, a good person, or a prophet. The Scripture tells us He was God in the flesh. John 1:1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word referred to here is Jesus Himself. Second, after we repent, then we are to receive. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name." Acts 16:31, "So they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household.'" And so we close this podcast with this invitation.
Christ says in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be wool." If you would like further information on becoming a Christian, or perhaps you have a question about the Bible or anything that's on your mind, please contact us at 3mft@mail.com. Thanks again for listening, and join us next time for another podcast in the realm of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural.